All right. I've listened to defendants two. Rogers, have you had a chance to listen to it now?
I did get a chance to listen to it, Your Honor.
Anything you want to say with regard to the admissibility of those 17-odd minutes?
Yeah, Your Honor, I did listen to those 17 minutes, and I still believe those are completely not relevant in this case. As I already discussed, the statute states that it's with or without the intent, so the crime was committed on September the 14th, 2015, during that conference call. No matter what you say afterwards, it has no bearing on what actually occurred on September the 14th. It'd just be like somebody robbing a bank and coming back the next week and saying, well, this is what I didn't mean to do it. So for those reasons, the state doesn't believe that they're relevant to the matter at hand.
Well, I'm not sure really how relevant it is, but I'm going to allow it. This is a criminal case, and I guess I'd try to give the defendant a little leeway in terms of evidence that's presented. I'm going to admit Defendant's Exhibit 2. In terms of Defendant's Exhibit 3, Mr. Rogers, have you been able to listen to any of that?
I didn't get to listen to the whole thing, but I did listen to, I tried to listen to snippets throughout the video, and I didn't hear anything relevant whatsoever. It was a bunch of talk about, different acts and this type of thing, some language that we heard in the conference call, but I saw no relevance in that interview at all.
Mr. Deegan, anything else you want to say in terms of the basis for its admissibility?
It's going back to impeaching what the trooper said on the stand, which was he kept repeating and focusing on war and my tactics of doing things, and that entire call was a discussion on acts of Congress and the way they affected the people, which has all the bearing on the discussion that we were having on the 14th and the discussion I had the week before that. It was all using the acts and the laws of the government and how it affects the people.
Well, I don't know that it impeaches the trooper. He was just mainly pointing out words that you had said in that conference call. My concern here with State's Exhibit 3, and I know we have this some in others, but it's a full-blown discussion about the law. And it's not just a discussion about the law, but it's the defendants and even the moderators, whoever she was, interpretation of the law. And the court determines the law, not witnesses, not even expert witnesses. And of course the other concern is that it's only dealing with parts. They quote part of the law, but then they give their interpretation. At one point, Mr. Deegan says, not even sure Congress had the authority to. Another place he says, seems they gave powers to the president. And that's not for a witness. My struggle is, to allow a defendant to give a defense. But that has to be tempered with, not being able to get up on the stand or present evidence that would show, give some interpretation of the law that is not... is not accurate, is not what the court interprets the law for the jury to apply. not witnesses. So state or defendant's exhibit 3 is not going to be admitted into evidence. Defendant's exhibit 4. I don't know. I mean, I'm assuming you were provided a copy of
The defendant did say it was on a disc somewhere, but the state would object a lot of the same reasons that the court has just stated. It is law. This jury's here to decide facts. I see no relevance. And on top of that, I see no relevance whatsoever.
Mr. Diggin, anything else you want to say with regard to Defendant's Exhibit 4?
What was that the acts of Congress?
It's the documents and statements pertaining to the banking emergency,
okay.
And then I think Trading with the Enemy Act.
Okay. Yes, that is once again going to the state of mind in the discussion where we were speaking and saying that we are at war. When you have read those and you interpret them as any person can do, it's going to my state of mind as to why I said certain things.
Defendant's Exhibit 4 is not going to be admitted. It is a compilation of information. I can't even tell whether it's, you know, the current version of those acts. But we at least I don't. Other courts might, but I don't think they do. You just don't give laws to the jury. And, you know, say, here they are. So Defendant's Exhibit 4 is not admitted. Defendant's Exhibit 5, which is the complete file, or supposedly the complete file, of the Supreme Court case that Mr. Deegan and others filed.
The state would object to this exhibit as well. I don't find any relevance whatsoever. There was a question with when the trooper was on the stand. The trooper made a mention of filings. I believe the defendant asked if he's talking about the Supreme Court filing. There was no, I don't believe there was ever specified what filing they were referring to. They were generally speaking to filings, and that had to do with, the trooper and his thoughts on when they got in the discussion about sovereign citizens and filings. So for those reasons, the state doesn't find any relevance in Exhibit Number 5.
Mr. Deegan, anything else you want to say?
Trooper Williams brought it up and said that my filings prior to the complaint, because that's the only ones I'd had prior to the complaint, were his basis for the statements within that. And went in specifically and said the formatting and stuff that had been done. And so I wanted to show that we followed the rules as best we could with the Supreme Court of Appeals and that it wasn't a... There are no threats contained within it. It is a normal filing that would go into a court asking for relief and remedy. There's nothing extreme about it. And he testified and said that's what he based the complaint upon, were previous filings to the date of the 23rd of September.
Of course, then you're getting into extraneous matters to impeach or attempt to impeach a witness. I'm going to allow the complaint to be filed or to be admitted because I think that's what he said was the complaint or at least that's my recollection. I don't know that it's necessary to introduce the entire file.
So that would be the May 22nd filing that's 20-some pages with a judicial notice and maybe some affidavits of service, possibly. I'm not sure. The initial filing was 20-some pages with a 6-page judicial notice.
Yeah, it's several pages. I didn't count the number. I mean, you'll be able to look at it to make sure you know what it is. And
but that's what you're referring to, the very first filing, not the additional ones at later times.
Right.
Correct. Okay, yeah.
Because there has been some discussion about filings and what, if anything, those meant or the effect of them. So all right, are we otherwise ready for the jury?
Yes, sir.
Just a question on that, since I think I had only went through two with Phil on the stand. Do I need to bring him back in to admit the second and the fifth one, number two and number five?
Not number two, because I think he laid a foundation for that.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure. So I just need him for number five then?
Do you need a foundation for number five, the Supreme Court filing?
I believe so.
Okay. Then he will need to do that.
Just five. And that is five, right? The complaint was right. Five. And two was the 15-minute clip.
Right.
Okay.
Let me make sure.
The only other issue I have would be, I'm not sure if my computer will interface with the projector.
I think.
Yeah, I can.
Okay. And I think it's 2035, roughly, is where it starts, and about 38 roughly.
Is that going to be the first thing you do? Well, it doesn't matter. Just something.
I mean, do I need to go ahead and show this and then bring him in for the papers, or do we want to go ahead and that's all he's being called for, was this stuff?
It's up to you in terms of whether you want to just go ahead and admit the call him back in and have him go through Defendant's Exhibit 5, or whether you want to play Defendant's Exhibit 2, that's up to you.
Okay, well, I was just asking if there was a preference you had. It doesn't matter to me. He's fine with sitting out there. So I'd say we just go ahead and play this, and then I'll call him back in for that.
Defendant's Exhibit 2, okay. If you want to go ahead and get that keyed up or lined up. Or...
And, Judge, would this be convenient time to go over with the defendant the usual colloquy with respect to defendant's testimony?
Well, I mean, I already have, but I guess we could go ahead and do it again. I know that I asked you about exhibits before we took the break, just so I could review them over the lunch hour and try to save some time with having the jury here. While I listened to exhibits and we did that, of course I know that Mr. Hudock is on the stand. Are you going to have any other evidence besides your evidence through Mr. Hudock?
No one else is here.
Are you going to testify?
I believe I'm going to have to. I believe so.
All right. You understand that you don't have to testify?
Yes, me saying that I'm probably going to is not that I have to.
You don't have to.
I can make that choice when the time comes, correct?
You can make that choice as soon as all your other witnesses testify.
Okay.
If Mr. Hudock's going to be the only one, then that's fine. So, yes, anything you say now is not binding. I mean, if you say, no, you're not going to, but then you decide to, that's fine. If you say you're going to, but then you decide not to, that's fine.
But
do you understand that you don't have to testify?
Yes.
Okay. And that if you do testify, that the prosecuting attorney will be entitled to ask you questions. You understand that?
Yes, I'm just not sure of the scope of what he could ask. That's what I'm unclear of.
Okay.
Can he ask specifically to what I've talked about, or is he open for anything once I go up there?
Well, he can ask. He can cross-examine you on any issue that you raise.
Okay.
He can also cross-examine you on any issues that relate to credibility. And a prior felony criminal conviction could be considered impeachment evidence.
Okay.
I'm not saying that it is in this case, but it could be. I mean, I guess there's some limit on what he can ask, but you are a party, and so the rules of evidence indicate that if a party takes a witness stand, that the cross-examination is not limited to issues that are testified to on direct examination. So there is a wider scope of cross-examination for a party than for a non-party witness. Generally, a non-party witness, the scope of cross-examination is limited to matters that are brought out on direct examination. For a party, of which you are, then it is broader. Now, that doesn't mean that there's no limit, but it's not limited solely to what you testify to.
Okay, and during the time that I am, if I testify, can I have him sitting here as counsel to object to anything that he feels, since I will be busy formulating, you know, the answers or testifying to any objections or anything that may come up from the other side?
If you want him to do that, then he can. I mean, that's one of the things that he was appointed to do, would be to assist you, and if that's to assist and make sure that the cross-examination does not get too out of range or out of scope, then that's fine. Also, if you don't testify, the jury can be instructed that you don't have to testify, and that they cannot consider the fact that you didn't testify as any evidence that you did anything wrong. Further, and we've talked about this, of course, before too, you have the right to call other witnesses and present other evidence, like you've marked five exhibits so far, and you've called one witness. You understand that you have the right to do that?
I understand I have the right, yes, but it's just not there.
Well,
there's no one here, and I didn't have time to go through the paperwork to see what I could verify.
All right. Are we ready then for the jury?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay. Have you queued it up?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that right? It shows 2035.
What I wrote down, if my media player was accurate, it's not the same one. It's not Windows, so I'm not sure how accurate it is.
I didn't hear your voice until about 23, but what I heard between here and 23. Was neutral. It was somebody else.
Well, I mean, if we can, if we want to check real quick before bringing him in. All I wanted was just what I had said. I mean, we don't have to have anybody else speaking.
No, that's fine.
Okay.
Like I said, it's neutral. Which is
okay.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Just so that you all are aware, this is, I think it was discussed in testimony prior to us taking a break. This is a disc that has been marked and now admitted, at least this portion of it, as Defendant's Exhibit 2. And this is as the other exhibits from the state, it's the disc and the information on it that is the evidence, not any transcript, although I don't know that there is a transcript of this. But it's the disc, and that is the evidence, not any transcript. So.
Just simple paperwork. We're not going to allow understand it, we had militias roll out to Bundy Ranch over a corporate citizen with corporate land that lost his case outright after appeal and appeal, and they defended the man who was wrong and lost repeatedly. They went out for some gold mine that has no allodial title. At best, they may have a land patent or right inferior. And the corporate government, of course, has made a claim to all of that. They defended them. But they refused to defend the people of the state of West Virginia, so be it. I could care less at this point. I've done what I can do to educate the American people. I've done what I can do to help West Virginia become free. I cannot help it that these guys that claim they're real men and post a picture on Facebook with a gun and then turn around and watch some TV and do some other things are not willing to take a stand because they're bought and paid for. It's not my fault. I've given up 7 years of my time for this. We have other things that we'll be doing, but until they're done and rolled out, no one will know of it. Will they work? I don't know. Are they lawful? Yes. Should they work? Yes. But if it's any indication of what we've seen so far, it won't. The militias decided that it's okay to stand by and watch this country crumble some more. The purported oath keepers are nothing more than oath keepers in name. They're outright traitors. Constitutional sheriffs, they don't exist, because they violate their oath as soon as they take office. And all of these things are to keep you complacent and doing nothing. With that being said, I'm not sure how many more calls I'll be on. It depends on what Jim and Steve wish to do. I can educate you on true law, contracts, and maxims, but it's quite apparent that most people don't wish to utilize the knowledge, so I'm not sure what effect it would have. We still have set forth things that everybody can do, such as petitioning, complaints, going directly to your local officials, and forcing them to do other things. I had a call with someone earlier that had a pretty good idea, but I'm not sure that it would necessarily work in enough time to stop what's going to happen. We have big money interests in Karen Hudetis, the IMF, BIS, the Vatican, that wants you to just think everything's going to be okay when they leave the UN. It's not. No one's helping you. No one's doing anything on your behalf. It's still a game of see how much they can steal from us, and until the majority of Americans stand up and say they've had enough. And then that's if they even do it in time. Nothing will change, and your children's future is bleak. With that, I hope the agents and operatives that have been chasing me, you can keep on chasing me, boys. I haven't went anywhere. You know where I'm at. None of you have shown up face-to-face to do anything. You can't stop what I'm doing. I will continue writing whatever I feel like writing, and I will continue putting it out as long as I feel like putting it out. And there's nothing, anything, any of them can do to stop that, because they're all cowards. Hide behind a microphone, a cell phone, a video camera, and talk useless garbage that makes no sense to anyone that has half a brain cell. So I would implore the people to go ahead and continue petitioning, filing complaints. We should have already had a complaint filed in every state. There should have been a complaint filed in every district court in America. No one could even do that. So, as far as I can see, it's probably best for everyone to go ahead and kiss your children and grandchildren goodbye, because very shortly you will probably be leaving this earth, and hopefully they will with you so that they avoid what's coming. I've given you the best intelligence and information on the inside workings, and no one seems to care. And so what the Pope's coming to do will be done. And there's really nothing you can do about it, one person at a time. Once again, I will state that the three of us have nothing to do with any idiots that show up on Thursday, because the majority of them will be federal operatives seeking to cause a problem. So we have absolutely nothing to do with it. We don't wish to see violence, and had the American people shown up in force, there wouldn't have been violence. The cowards and traitors would have left office and would have probably left the state. And within a month, you all could have had free states. And within a few months, you could have had a free country. But we've seen where the American people are at. They don't want it. They like what they have. And so I'll accept that. I will continue to free myself. I'm working on something for the children of Earth, since no one's protecting them. I will do something to do that. We have a few other angles. If you see it work, you see it work. If you don't, you don't. With that, I really don't have anything more to say. Unless Jim wants to say something, or Gene or Phil, I guess we can open it up for questions or comments.
Happen. anybody has any questions, you can press star 6 and follow the directions. Comments?
Rogers, are you watching the call?
Okay, well, I'll leave it with, there's a set of books by Lysander Spooner. You Google them, the 5-volume set. I think you should read them. Pass them out to everyone you know. They're free. Once you read them, you will understand the lunacy of what we're involved with today. But at this point, I would still say that there's not enough time to do anything peacefully. And it's obvious no one wants to do what the purported Founding Fathers did and clean it up. We did the best we could in West Virginia with three little people. And there's really nothing else that we can do at this point other than say the case is there. They've defaulted and designed themselves. We're the last one standing. And we have the authority to do whatever is needed for the children. And we will take whatever actions we think is proper and necessary, regardless of what the federal agents say. Lysander Spooner.
When do you see those cue pages?
My board's down.
Okay. Let me unmute the first one.
Mr. Deegan, I think that's the end of the recording.
Okay.
You want Mr.
Mr. Hudock back in.
This is the exhibit. He thought he was done and he left. can you bring me that? That's according to Mr. Deegan outside. Back to Mr. Deegan and see if that's what.
Yeah, the only thing that's missing was a 6-page judicial notice. That was part of this original file.
See if that's what it is.
Yep.
Okay. Can you have that marked as Defendant's Exhibit 5A?
5A.
Put that judicial notice in the back.
That would be a separate exhibit.
My understanding is that you were wanting Mr. Hudock simply to identify the Supreme Court filings?
Right. And I mean, that one is I'm a signatory. I mean, I can verify that that's
a complete. Well, I'm going to go ahead and admit it.
Okay.
Unless you have some other than relevancy, unless you have other objections.
None other than that, no.
Okay. Then I'm going to go ahead. 5A is the petition or complaint that was filed that I indicated I was going to admit. And I'm going to go ahead and admit that. And then the remainder of the filings will be Defendant's Exhibit 5. And those, of course, will not be. So does that... do away with the necessity then to call Mr. Hudock back?
Yeah, that's all I had for him, unless he had something.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. Did you have any items of cross-examination that you were wanting to do with Mr. Hudock?
I mean, if he's not around, I'll...
I mean, I have a phone number. If someone can call him, I'm sure that he's probably still in the area. I don't know why he left. I told him that he would have to testify to the five objects, and so I'm not sure why.
Just based off of these two things, I'm fine to move forward.
Okay. All right. Do you have any other evidence?
No.
You're not going to testify?
Well, I was speaking with him about that. When we were taking up that issue.
Judge, could he and I have 5 minutes?
Okay. Do it here, or you can do it back in the holding cell. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, holding cell.
Can I look at 5 and 5A while he's in here?
5 and 5A?